It's time for Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. Tonight, government punches holes in allegations of expired rebagged rice served in senior high schools by an North Tongue MP. Government insists the product passed the wholesomeness test by the FDA.
I am surprised. I do not understand why Mr. Blakwa should be disappointed that FDA is confirming that the food was wholesome. I thought the whole intention was to fight for the safety and well-being of students. I mean, where from this whole drama and dragging of issues?
But the MP says he will petition the Office of the Special Prosecutor to take up the matter if the President fails to set up a commission of inquiry to investigate the issue.
This is the time for them to offer leadership. Step in and commission a special inquiry into this matter. If they fail to, we will be happy to see an organization, for example, like the OSP, take this matter up.
And then propaganda and rumor mongering has no place in education. That's the Chief of Staff, Frimer Osel Paris, responds when Joy News asks her about the claims.
Let us focus on things that move this country forward. I think this is our problem. We have good things. Look at what I've just seen. That should be your focus. How you advance the Ghanaian child, how you improve their opportunities so they become good citizens.
We'll definitely also hear from parents and guardians as they express concern about the health implication.
How would you feel if your child, your brother, your daughter or whoever comes out of your family, suffer from this negative effect of expired food?
I have to take them to hospital and check them my health, that what they have consumed. Is it good to my body?
We have details of that, and then fresh pressure mounts on the Electoral Commission to deliver free, fair and credible elections as chiefs urge the electoral body to leave no stone unturned in safeguarding the country's peace.
Very importantly, I think going to elections, we all have to work hard to ensure absolute free and fair election. It must be secret elections, but transparent.
We'll definitely also hit the campaign trail. There's business.
And Bank of Ghana urged to be tactful over dollar support for market aimed at stabilizing the Ghana city.
And in sports, Ghana's Black Stars end Abysmal AFCON 2025 qualifying campaign in defeat at home against Niger.
And we missed that penalty, didn't we? Okay. That and more coming up in tonight's edition of Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM. Also on myjoyonline.com. You can join us with your thoughts, your comments is via WhatsApp 055-11-11-997. I am Emefa Apau. Let's dig in straight. And tonight, propaganda and rumor mongering has no place in education. That's government's description of claims that children in some senior high schools may have been fed unwholesome rice, rebacked and supplied by Lament Investments Africa. The Ministry of Education is vehemently fighting off the claims, insisting that though the company was sanctioned for repackaging and changing the country of origin of the bags of rice, it passed the wholesomeness test. The North Tongue MP who first brought this issue to light is piling pressure on President Akufo-Addo to set up an independent commission of inquiry into the matter, citing a 2021 Auditor General's report which implicated Lament for supplying 65 bags of rice to Prestia Honey Valley Senior High School and Technical School and 5 cartons of carnation milk, which were found to be unwholesome. At a press conference today, Mr. Blakwa says he will petition the Office of the Special Prosecutor to take up the matter if the President fails to set up a commission of inquiry to investigate the issue.
We are calling for an independent commission of inquiry. That's why we are saying that President Akufo-Addo must not remain silent. We are talking about a matter that affects millions of senior high school students. President Akufo-Addo, Vice President Baumia, this is the time for them to offer leadership. Step in and commission a special inquiry into this matter. If they fail to, we will be happy to see an organization, for example, like the OSP, take this matter up, because under the OSP Act, they are to investigate criminal conduct. And it's clear that a rebagging without authorization is a criminal conduct. For the benefit of those of you who don't have the 2021 Auditor General's report, let me read what the Auditor General discovered on Lament's. Page 133, supply of unwholesome food items, paragraph 608. In contravention of section 52 of the PFM Act 2016, Act 91, we noted that supplies of 65 bags of rice in March 2021 to Prestia Honey Valley Senior High and Technical Schools and 5 cartons of carnation milk to Asankregua Senior High School by laments were found to be unwholesome at our time of audit in September, though the expiry date on the product was October 2021. As a result, there is a risk that the items will be served to students in times of food shortage with possible health implications. We recommended to the head of the schools to report the matter to the National Buffer Stock Company for appropriate action or be held accountable for any inappropriate disposal of the items, unquote. So as far back as 2021, the question is, what did NAFCO do? What did the Ministry of Education do? So this matter, we could have stopped it as far back as 2021.
Well, my colleague Kenneth Jesse was at that press conference, joins me in studio. Kenneth, let's start with the calls for the arrest of the heads of the company.
Yes, so he's called for the arrest of the directors of Lamens Investment Africa, and the Minority Caucus wants the directors arrested because they say their actions put the lives of millions of students in danger. They said that they were at the center of the bagging and repackaging in Kumasi when they were arrested and released again. So they want them to be rearrested because of the part they've played in all of this drama.
The NDC caucus also demands the immediate arrest and prosecution of the directors of Lamens Investment Africa Limited, Mr. Ajefi Mensah and Simon Ejay, those two directors. And Simon Ejay, at the time of the arrest, was there supervising the operations, director of the company, supervising the illegal operations at the buffer stock storage facility in Kumasi, before the order came from above that he should be released. We demand their rearrest and prosecution. The board and management of the National Food Buffer Stock Company must be sanctioned for allowing their storage facility to be used for this atrocious act and for operating unregistered storage facilities across the country. Such recklessness, which sacrifices the health of our students for corrupt transactions, must not go unpunished. The Ministry of Education must be probed for their conduct in this despicable affair, not only for supervising this rot, which severely endangers the health of SHS students, but also their reported role, as alleged by FDA officials, that they piled on due pressure to get the FDA to back off. The Ministry of Education must be probed. And Reverend John Itimfojo, who has remained silent as if he's not in this country.
Well, there were some 20 questions also that the Minority Caucus wanted answers to.
Very,
some of them.
Very pertinent questions, all of them. But we'll walk through some of the key questions that they asked. One of them is that they're asking if the claim by the Ministry of Education that the FDA extended the best before date from December 2023 to April 30th, 2024 is accurate. Mm-hmm. They also continue to say that if this claim is accurate, can the FDA explain to Ghanaians under what law and authority they extended the expiry date for Lamens as claimed by the Ministry of Education. Mm-hmm. They also ask that how did Lamens manage to obtain this extension the same day it applied to the FDA? Did the FDA authorize the rebagging into the ECOWAS bags, mm-hmm. which changed the origin of the rice from India to Ghana? Another one is that why is the Ministry of Education compelling high school students to receive repackaged rice items without expiry dates? It goes on to ask, why has the Akufo-Addo Bawumia administration not sanctioned any official involved in this grave matter? Why has the Ministry of Education failed to comply with recommendations from PIAC and the Auditor General on improving health and safety protocols on food distribution to our senior high schools? Okay. These among other pertinent questions they've asked.
Okay, thank you very much. That's my colleague Kenneth Jesse, well, data analyst and a member of the Joy Research Desk. Kofi Ejay joins me in studio. We've been taking a look at the documents and taking a look at the chronology of events up until now, where exactly we are today. Kofi, let's start with what the FDA found in their preliminary investigation on this matter.
So, the rice in question, which is the Moshosho rice, was imported by Lamens Investment Africa Limited. The notified party was the National Food Buffer Stock Company, and the rice was exported from India by the Satya Balaji Rice Industries PVT Limited. The facility had been repackaging of the Moshosho rice from the original bags into other bags with inscriptions indicating ECOWAS Regional Food Security Reserve. While the best before date on the Moshosho rice was December 2023, there was no date on the new bags used for repackaging, and the country of origin, which was India, had been changed to Ghana, concealing the identity of the rice. Now, the facility was not licensed for storage, talking about the buffer stock or repackaging, and there was no, you know, qualified or trained person to supervise its activities. What happened in Kumasi, we are told. And I mean, that was it, the chronology of events.
Well, so we know that this particular report was signed by the head of the FDA in the Ashanti region, John Layo Daitete.
Yeah.
And of course, we also know that this happened, or the alert came on the 20th of December, absolutely, 2023, regarding this particular issue. There were some names cited in there, at least representing Lamens Investment Africa Limited during this particular meeting. Ellie Dogbe's operations manager, I have particularly reached out to her.
Yeah.
She mentioned that they were not able to speak now, as and when they would, she will let us know. Also, Simon Ejay, the Ashanti Regional Coordinator for the company, and of course, the Deputy Education Minister, John Intim Fojo, have also been mentioned in this particular initial investigation. So let's talk about when this rice was received to that facility and what was the quantity.
Well, MFA, according to the operations manager, the report stated that 11,000 metric tons of rice were received in February 2024, confirmed by two bales of laden. Now, initially, the consignment was kept in a bonded warehouse in Tema. That is the Limbrook. That was due to tariff issues, we understand. And the report indicated that the quantity at the storage facility in Kumasi was 23,000 bags of the 50 kg rice, while the Lindbrook, bonded warehouse had 10,000 bags of 50 kg rice.
Okay. So what other information does the report then provide on this?
Now, according to the report, the Lamens Investment Africa Limited took samples of the rice to the Food Research Institute for analysis, aiming to extend the shelf life due to the imminent or best before date. They had received a letter of the shelf life extension from the exporter, and wrote to the FDA requesting approval to repackage the rice. However, no reply had been received before the repackaging took place. That's what we understand. And the report concluded that Lamens Investment Africa Limited conducted the repackaging exercise in an unlicensed facility without FDA approval or supervision. They changed the country of origin and brand name, and the new packaging materials lacked a best before date, violating the general labeling regulations. That's what we understand so far.
And we know that led to that particular sanction imposed on Lamens. Well, there's a letter that the FDA wrote to the importer, correct?
Yes, let me bring in that letter. It is actually correct. It says that on the 29th of December, the FDA wrote to Lamens Investment Africa Limited regarding the unauthorized packaging of rice and gave the following directives. One, the importer was ordered to immediately cease the repackaging exercise. They were asked to contact the FDA to initiate the process for the safe disposal of the 15,000 bags of repackaged rice and to pay an administrative charge of 150,000 cedis by the 12th of January 2024. It is understood that the importer paid 50,000 cedis in reply to the letter that they wrote to the FDA on the 3rd of January 2024. MFR.
Now, let's talk about the issue about the shelf life extension that was requested by Lamens Investment Africa Limited.
Now, Lamens Investment Africa Limited applied for a shelf life extension for the Moshosho rice in a letter submitted to the FDA on the 4th of December 2023. In response, the FDA indicated that the analytical report from the Food Research Institute did not include necessary details on the moisture and the mold, which were essential for making a decision.
Okay.
So samples were sent back to the FDA lab for analysis, which indicated that at the time of testing that rice, it was wholesome, okay. Right? Now, however, the FDA stated that it could not grant the shelf life extension request, as determining that the shelf life of the product is the manufacturer's responsibility based on data from shelf life studies.
Okay.
So FDA could not do that at that moment.
At the time. Okay. So we understand that the rice was distributed to the school before the final certificate of analysis on its wholesomeness was submitted. Tell us more.
I mean, what we are learning is that according to the documents cited by Joy News, the certificate of analysis was submitted on the 6th of February 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, MFA, some schools, including the Presbyterian Boys SHS, which we understand is the central point for distribution in the Greater Accra region,
okay.
Konongo Odumasi SHS and Borgatanga SHS Girls, received the rice on the 2nd of February 2024, 4 days prior. Now, these three schools receive 1,893.50 kg bags of rice collectively.
Thank you very much, Kofi J, for our research desk, also a data analyst here at Joy News, giving us details of the documents that we've cited regarding this particular matter. I've been engaging the PR of the Ministry of Education, Kwesi Kwarteng. He says the preliminary findings of the Ministry of Education reveal that though Lament was sanctioned for repackaging and changing the country of origin of the bags of rice, it passed the wholesomeness test.
I am surprised because I do not understand why Mr. Blackwell should be disappointed in that FDA is confirming that the food was wholesome. I thought the whole intention was to fight for the safety and well-being of students. So if at the end of the day, it comes out that FDA had already made a determination and declared the food wholesome and safe, I mean, where from this whole drama and dragging of issues?
You call it drama?
No, you see, we should separate the facts from the dramatization of it. The fundamental question is whether or not FDA approved whether the food was wholesome or not.
But there are concerns that there were big hands involved in this matter. For which reason? Let me finish. For which reason maybe someone's hands were actually forced to do what they were not supposed to do? Have you also considered that?
I don't think this is a fair question even to come from you.
Why is it not fair?
I'm not sure my role as a spokesperson is to respond to assumptions and speculations by a member of parliament who lays claim and refuses to support such claims with evidence. Whose hand?
So at what point then did the FDA sanction Lament Africa? Why?
You see, the point is that let's put things in right information out there. FDA sanctioned Lament for not getting approval to repackage, not the wholesomeness of the food.
And you insist that Lament did nothing wrong, even though they were sanctioned by FDA for not seeking approval for this repackaging. But I'm wondering, why did they have to even repackage if there was nothing wrong?
MFA, let's speak too fast. We can have our own, our own...
I think that's what we are doing here. We are not here to talk about opinions. We are sticking to the facts.
So in that case, you don't ask judgmental questions. Ask questions that...
What is judgmental about the question? Why did they have to repackage is the concern. If there was nothing wrong with the rice, why did they have to repackage and change the name of the country of origin? Why did that have to happen?
Respectfully, I don't speak for FDA. The document that I said on why they wanted to, they need to repackage, the document is a public document. You can find out, you can speak to the company. I can only speak to what we have found as a ministry. That,
okay,
to me is the most important. What we found is that FDA declared the food wholesome.
Mm.
If you dispute that FDA is the right agency to speak to that, for us, our priority as a ministry is to find out whether the food was wholesome. And we have found that the food was wholesome. That answers for the Ministry of Education.
Okay, so from the Ministry of Education's point of view, nothing untoward happened. It ends the matter.
From the Ministry of Education's point of view, the food was wholesome.
So investigation continues or it ends on the part of the Ministry of Education?
We've put out our findings. If there is any other issue that comes up, we'll let the public know. But for now, that is our findings.
So that's the PR of the Ministry of Education, Kwesi Kwarteng, there speaking to us on the Midday News earlier today. I have been joined on the phone by the North Tong MP, but before I speak to him, let's hear from the Chief of Staff, Primor Pare. She's been dismissing the allegations, describing it as propaganda that should have no place in the education sector. She spoke to my colleague, Prince Kwame Kuduga, on the sidelines of the National Education Week ongoing here in Accra.
The education sector in Ghana is moving forward to catch up with the modern trends. We are not late. What we are doing is helping our students to have critical minds so they create. They are not just imbibing knowledge, but they are actually creating knowledge. And I think we need to support the education agenda that the government has. This transformative agenda is worth supporting.
But then the issue about some expired rights served to students, has it come to your notice, and are you worried about that?
It is, you know, it is not true. So please, let us focus on things that move this country forward. I think this is our problem. We have good things. Look at what I've just seen. That should be your focus. How you advance the Ghanaian child. How you improve their opportunities so they become good citizens. Propaganda and rumor mongering has no place in education exhibition. Thank you.
And that's the Chief of Staff, Primor Pare, there interacting with my colleague, Prince Kwame Kuduga, earlier today on the subject matter. She describes it as propaganda and rumor mongering and that it has no place in the education sector. MP for North Tong, Samuel Okudjetu Ablakwa, is with us on the line. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So two key issues comes up at this point. The Ministry of Education insists that the wholesomeness of these rice, or the rice that was distributed in February, has been confirmed by the FDA and that there's no problem at all. What then is your concern?
Good evening to you, MFA. The Ministry of Education, I have always insisted, is complicit. The evidence I have shows that any credible, impartial, independent investigation will expose them. And I know it's just a matter of time. Fortunately, if they refuse to call for a national inquiry into this matter, in a few days, a new government will take over. And all those complicit, those who have engaged in this criminal act, will not go unpunished. I give you full assurance. The evidence is clear. If you read the 6 February 2024 examination results from the FDA, you have a copy. You see the FDA stating clearly that this Moshosho rice contains insects, is insect infested. It also says that it did not meet the standard for fat acidity, that it has very high fat acidity. Indeed, if you read the 29th December internal memo of the Food and Drugs Authority, the FDA set out to do three things. First, to immediately issue an order to Lamens and the National Food Buffer Stock Company not to proceed with the criminal rebagging. We did not have the authorization of FDA. Two, the FDA was moving in to dispose of, to destroy the rice. They knew that the rice was not fit for consumption, was not safe for consumption. And then three, they were moving in to sanction Lamens. What we should be asking is that what changed? What changed between 29 December and thereafter that now suddenly the Education Ministry is producing a dubious document claiming that the FDA granted approval?
Well, let me come in on this. The bit about you describing this particular document as dubious is the concern, really. On what basis do you say that this FDA test, or the results or the findings of the FDA, or the FDA issuing a letter to say that this rice is actually wholesome? The concern, we are told, is that the FDA did not move in because of the unwholesomeness of this particular product, but the fact that they were repackaging on the blind side of the FDA.
Again, that is not true. When you read the 6 February test results from the FDA, it's clear that the rice was unwholesome, that it was insect infested, and that it had high fat acidity, and that they were not wholesome. Look,
but subsequent tests were conducted.
Let us not forget that apart from the FDA saying this, there are two credible organizations. The Auditor General conducted an audit in 2021 and indicted the same company, Lamens. That Lamens is notorious for delivering contaminated food to our secondary schools. Read page 133 and 142 of the 2021 Auditor General's report. Then also read the PIAC report. So, I mean, what I am saying, what the NDC caucus in parliament is saying, and what FDA itself initially found out, remember that there had been an arrest on the 20th of December. Then calls started coming from above. You have seen the 21st December 2023 letter from the Ashanti Regional Police Command.
That we've seen.
Yes, signed by J.J. Boy, superintendent in charge of crime. Ask them why they were compelled to release the suspects. And why is it that up to date, nobody has been prosecuted? Why is it that Lamens admitted to culpability? Look, if the Ministry of Education is claiming that nothing untoward had happened, a number of questions arise. Why is it that if Lamens, you are doing nothing wrong, you have shelf life extension, why did you have to read back? That's a fundamental question we must all be asking.
That's the question we've been asking.
Why did they have to read back in different packaging? Instead of made in India, they say ECOWAS rice made in Ghana. And then in violation of LI 1541, which mandates every food vendor, food manufacturer, food dealer to make sure you have an expiry date or a best before date or a sell-by date, none of that was provided. Now they are claiming that there was some dubious extension to April 2024. How do you expect the headmasters in these secondary schools across the country to know that the date for expiry is April 30th, 2024?
But Mr. Ablakwa,
when it was not indicated, when that letter was not shared, it has just popped up in these last few days. How were they to know? When you compel the headmasters, I've spoken to them. Some of them who raised concerns were threatened to shut up. Because under no condition should heads of our institution be forced to receive food without expiry date.
But Mr. Ablakwa, on what basis then do you insist that this particular letter we are seeing from the FDA is dubious, when in fact the letter is passing the rice as wholesome?
So the FDA will have to be explaining to us how.
But you are describing it as dubious. Why are you describing it as dubious?
Because all the documents I have intercepted, the report signed by the Ashanti regional head, I'm glad that you have spent time to read copiously excerpts from that report. You see the FDA indicting Lamens and NAFCO. Indeed, NAFCO, as we speak, has still not registered their storage facilities. That conspiracy with Lamens to carry out this rebagging was condemned. Then you see the FDA examination results dated 6 February saying that this rice did not conform to standards so far as insect infestation and fat acidity are concerned.
So you insist that the subsequent steps that were taken to remedy the situation is not enough?
Until this expose. Look, isn't it strange that a ministry that feigned ignorance. You remember, when you interviewed Kwesi Kwarteng, when I first broke this story, he said that, look, this is shocking, it's come to them as a surprise. Meanwhile, the FDA report reveals that in January of this year, they spoke to the Deputy Minister of Education, Reverend Jonathan Fojo, and that Reverend Jonathan Fojo, this Ministry of Education, could have stopped the distribution of this as far back as January, before the food was distributed in February.
Okay.
So there are so many things that do not add up. There's lack of integrity. There's lack of compliance. There's lack of, the adherence to our Public Health Act at 851, the LI 1541, And the double standards, the hypocrisy.
But you've heard the chief of staff. You've heard the chief of staff this evening.
It is the health of our children that is at stake.
Well, we'll be hearing from some parents, Mr. Ablakwa, but in wrapping up with you, you've heard from the chief of staff. She describes this as propaganda and just rumor mongering. That's not healthy for the education sector.
I am disappointed in the chief of staff. This is an elderly woman I have enormous respect for, but it appears that she's learning from her boss. She also wants to be a clearing agent. You are chief of staff. Such a matter. You don't just dismiss it with a wave of the hand. Chief of staff, summon the Minister of Education, summon the NAFCO chief executive, the NAFCO board, summon the FDA. Ask for, at least, do your own preliminary independent investigations before you just say it's propaganda. I mean, what work did she do as chief of staff? If this is how she works as chief of staff, somebody who must coordinate all of these institutions that have let us down, institutions who have disappointed parents, who have put children at risk, and as a mother, all you do is just, oh, this is untrue, this is propaganda, without any verification. I'm totally appalled, I'm disgusted, and I'm disappointed in Madame Frema for this her conduct. This is not how a chief of staff should behave.
We'll leave it here for now. We are grateful. That's the North Tongue MP, Samuel Okudjetua Blackwa. Let me take some brief words from the executive director of the Africa Education Watch, Mr. Kofi Asare. You've been monitoring the space on this particular matter since this issue broke, the posturing of the ministry on both sides up onto where we are today. What does your own findings, review? I'm sure you've been finding out more about this particular issue. What would you want to happen going forward?
Well, I want to focus on what I want to happen going forward, because we've been privy to lots of findings and counter findings and denials and all that. I don't think we can solve the problem with that approach. The first is that I believe that the buffer stock company will have to adapt what we call a shelf life policy. There should be a policy that says that at least for every item to be supplied to senior high schools, it should have 6 months of shelf life remaining, so that we are clear that within that 6 months, at least a semester would have elapsed and the goods would have been consumed. So minimum shelf life good supply to school, whether it's mackerel, whether it's rice, whether it's Pepsodent, anything that's supplied should have at least 6 months of shelf life. Mm-hmm. That's the first step in curbing this. The second is that the warehouses of the buffer stock. Buffer stock must ensure that the warehouses are licensed, and then they adapt minimum standards in warehouse management, especially security at the warehouses, and then health and safety, and then also quality assurance. The third is that when foodstuff are supplied to schools, now they are supplied to centers for schools within the country area to pick them up. We must have an arrangement where either an officer, a food safety officer from buffer stock or FDA, should be at the point of supply of food to this cluster center where headmasters will come and pick their food from. And at that point, among others, the best before date and expiry date of foodstuff must be inspected and certified by both the picking headmasters and then also the external inspectors from buffer stock and then FDA. I think if we have such mechanisms in place, it will ensure that no foodstuff with expiry dates of less than or with shelf life of less than 6 months gets to our schools. That for me is one key takeaway from this particular issue.
Well, we are grateful. Mr. Kofi Asare, there is Executive Director of the Africa Education Watch. Some parents have also been sharing their thoughts on this matter in terms of what the findings have been so far. You can listen to some of them.
As a parent, for instance, I'm standing here, I'm having four children. My own children are two, the adopted one are two. So I should be concerned.
Are there any in senior high school or have gone to senior high school?
Yes, one is already in senior high school. So I'm especially when I heard about it, I'm highly worried, because what about she comes home, started complaining, daddy, this is what is following me. Then the little money that I've saved, I'll take her to hospital. We're diving, so the children they be complaining about the food that they be eating at the school. So importing of rice, I don't think it's acceptable. The best way is to, for us to develop our own rice, the like brown rice, our own local rice that we can use to feed our own children. And that one, we know there is no any contamination on our food.
So my brother is actually in SHS 3, and hearing about this is very, very, very bad. It is not appealing at all. How would you feel if your child, your brother, your daughter, or whoever comes out of your family, suffer from this negative effect of expired foods? So I want them to take action of it. Yes, being it FDA, the government as well. If you want to sue the person, you can take legal actions against the person.
You mean the parents?
Exactly.
The government have to do something about it, because that's why they are paying them. The food address, but because of that, they are paying them. So they have to stop those things. They have to see to it that these things are not supposed to be sent to the schools, to our kids to use. Right now, we can't say there is a punishment, but they have to take them to hospital and check them. And check their health, that what they have consumed, is it good to my body or something like that.
Well, George Wiafe joins us with the latest from the world of business, even though his school has been mentioned. Okay.
Let's do business. Boys,
let's stick with business. What's in business, George?
Today, we actually won another, prize, a national...
Yes. Public speaking.
Yeah, you know, national
champions. At least
champions,
you didn't get NSMQ.
So it tells you that we are an all-round institution.
Masa.
It's not just about being signed. When it comes to debate, when it comes to football, when it comes to sports, and all
there.
Those things, we are there at
the
top.
We hear you.
And that is where we belong.
You. What's a business?
But coming up, Bank of Ghana urged to be tactful over dollar support for market aimed at stabilizing CD. A National Insurance Commission urged to establish a new framework for calculating insurance penetration to reflect true coverage. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal. Hey, welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, Bank of Ghana is being asked to be tactful over its dollar support for the market to help stabilize the Ghana cedi. Improved dollar intervention from the central bank has been seen as one of the reasons for the cedi's recent good run. However, there are fears that due to the limited reserves, the pressures could emerge again from next year. Courage Buti is one of those analysts the Joy Business has been engaging.
I don't know what the game plan eventually is at the Bank of Ghana, but they are quite transparent to the market now. They are providing the assurances. They are providing the target for the year is 3 months of import cover. If we go significantly above that, yes, then they could intervene even more. But then you also do not want to deplete all of your reserves just to keep a stable CD and expose yourself to vulnerabilities in the future. So they would have to find that balance. Again, that, like I said, the market would test the resolve at some point, right? So I think for the moment, ahead of the ulitite season, it is something they can do based on the reserve levels. What I am not sure about is beyond January, what it will still look like and whether there will be enough reserve to continue that.
Courage Buti is a currency analyst and manager macroeconomic research at GCB Bank. Now, energy analyst Yusuf Suleiman has indicated that the margin of the projected reduction in fuel prices will be dependent on the city's performance. Fuel prices are likely to be reviewed from tomorrow. However, it's not clear for now the margin of reduction. However, Mr. Suleiman says that they could be getting more from the projected reduction if the city's outlook is quite favorable.
Yeah, the only excuse is the effects. But I think with the drop and the projections forward, we should have some marginal drop.
By what margin?
The market is, up to 1-2% at least, maximum 5%, yeah. That is also the condition is just the FX. It depends on what kind of FX that they are using. If the FX remains stable, we'll have a drop, definitely, undoubtedly, because the international prices are very, very favorable as we speak now. And going forward, we'll likely see depressed prices as we go forward in the international front.
Energy analyst Dr. Yusuf Suleiman speaking to my colleague Pius Kujubaka on Business Live today. The National Insurance Commission has been urged to establish a new framework for calculating insurance penetration to reflect its true coverage in the country. Now, Director of Financial Sector Division at the Ministry of Finance, Tansin Agalego, says that it's about time the regulator factors pension as an insurance instrument to give a true picture of the sector's performance. Agalego spoke to Joy Business at the opening of the West African Insurance Companies Association meeting in Accra.
We have a standard approach that we have been using to do the calculation of the penetration rate. Okay? So now the policy discussion with the regulator is that how do we move to capture the other aspects of insurance? Because if you look at pensions, really it's insurance. You know, if you go back and look at, for example, the law that established NICS, it's old age insurance for people who have retired. Yeah. So, and if you go to other jurisdictions, they include those figures on the assurance. So it's more about establishing a new framework for those computations that will better reflect our penetration rate as compared to what we have now that is stagnating at below 1%.
Director of the Financial Sector Division at the Ministry of Finance, Samson Agalego. Now, insurance players have also resolved to leverage artificial intelligence to churn out more innovative products whilst addressing the growing needs of their customers. Chief Executive and Sector Head of Heads Insurance Group, Nini Onifede, said noted that there's a surest way of improving insurance coverage in the sub-region.
One of the ways through which we can increase insurance penetration in West Africa is through the deployment of artificial intelligence. Today we talk about penetration rates being very, very low in West Africa. In fact, in Africa generally, because by the time you exclude South Africa from the figures, then the rest of Africa is doing less than 1%. You understand? So I believe that we can do more through the deployment of technology, deployment of artificial intelligence, and we stand to gain a lot by doing that. I mean, we talk about speed to execution. We talk about improving our customer experience, deepening the insurance penetration. We also talk about even the development of new products, you know, that we can also use to serve the generality of people. So I believe that this is something that we need to take seriously as an industry in the sub-region.
Chief Executive and Sector Head of Hers Insurance Group, comprising Hers Life Assurance, Hers General Insurance, and as well as the Insurance Brokerage Wing. Now that is Nii Onifade, and he spoke to Joy Business after delivering a speech at the West African Insurance Companies Conference here being held in Accra. The Ghana Statistical Service is set to roll out a statistical framework that was expected to improve the use of historical data in policy formulation in the country. Government Statistician Professor Simakomne Enim explained that the use of tailor-made statistics in each other sectors could be critical in program formulation going forward. He spoke to Joy Business at the 2024 African Statistics Day.
Ghana Statistical Service works closely with all government ministries, departments and agencies. So on a day-to-day basis, they contact us for current statistics based on their policy document. We would want to have an improved collaboration with them where we can really sit with them not only at the monitoring stage but at the policy design stage. And that is why we are coming up with what we are calling the statistical framework, which does not give policymakers only levels and prevalence of different issues, but avert their minds to different interventions that will lead to the expected outcomes.
Professor Samuel Kobnenin is government statistician, and that's all for business on the Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George. Well, there's some messages that we have to go through. We send them via WhatsApp. And this one from Otoi Nabeka says, if there was nothing wrong with the rice, why did they rebag, change the country of origin and no expiry date on the new bags? It's sad that some people would do anything just for the stomachs. And that's the question. And that's a message there from Oto. We have one from Musa Abatwa in Aswase, says, I'm disappointed in the Chief of Staff for failing seeking to address the unethical conduct of some government officials for distributing expired rice to schools, and that has not been established. So, and then he says, Honorable Okudzeto Ablakwa has proven to be consistent in exposing corrupt deals of this government, and he adds the hashtag #NewsNight. And we have this one also, it doesn't have a name, does it? And it says, please, in the various senior high schools, tutors are saved lunch periodically when the need arises. Please, does it mean they also ate the expired rice with the students? It says, Lord, have mercy. And that's a message there. Has no name. Maybe I'll take another message. This one is from Comrade Issa Tamimu, sending us this message from Boko. It says the distribution of expired foods has become a norm, and 2 years ago, expired foods were distributed to flag victims, and this is the second instance to come to public notice. One wonders how many expired products have been distributed that have gone unnoticed. That's Comrade Issa Tamimu's message. And one message that ends with God have mercy on our children. Okay, that's all you say, and that's a message with no name. Let's do sports, really. Is there anything else to do in sports after 21 years? No AFCON next year.
No AFCON.
Okay.
And the number of records broken throughout this AFCON qualifying campaign. The Black Stars, they ended the abysmal AFCON 2025 qualifying campaign with defeat at home against Niger. Omar Sako's header sealed a 2-1 win for Niger, who finished third up behind Angola and Sudan, with Ghana finishing rock bottom of the group. Now, this is the first time the Black Stars have ended an AFCON qualifying campaign without a single win, as well as losing both home records at Accra and Kumasi. Ghana lost to Angola in the opening game of the qualifiers, ending their 24-year unbeaten run at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. And tonight's defeat in Accra marks an end to 16 years since the Black Stars lost at home at the Accra Sports Stadium. And our former Black Stars head coach Sike Akono, he has pronounced a damning verdict on player selection process during his time in charge of the team. Now, Akono was Black Stars' boss for 21 months between 2020 and 2021 before being relieved of his role after a poor start to the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifying campaign.
There was a lot of hatred coming from outside against me, against maybe the team. I can just assure you that I think in all, sometimes it affects the players, and we need support. That's all. If you, if all of you want Ghana to win, we are buried down now. If you don't want us to go to World Cup, then you can continue and then you can hammer on us, okay? But if you really want us to go to World Cup, we need support. That's all I can say.
That was Black Stars head coach Otuadu speaking about the negative responses he's been seeing or hearing since the Black Stars failed to qualify. But now let's listen to CK Akono, the former Black Stars head coach, on the issues he had with player selection during his time as head coach.
You make it to yourself and value what you want to be done, the kind of players you want. And of course, they also bring their views on players. Sometimes it could be uncomfortable. You know, I understand that they have to look into it. I understand that football is not done by one person alone. There should be some guidance. And so in my case, I think it was not a situation where we are working together, to a situation where things were a little bit of in a mess. When we go into decide for players, it's always not comfortable.
You heard former Black Stars head coach CK Akono speaking there, bringing an end to sports. Thankfully, back to you, MFI.
Thank you very much, Danny. Now, let's hit the streets. It's time for our Streets of Despair series, and we'll take you to Kaneshi First Light here in the Greater Accra region, where children, some as young as 10 years old and far from their homes in Niger and Nigeria, are fighting to survive. These children, once seen begging at car windows, and are now selling goods at the median of our city's busiest street. Joy News' Faustina Safo has been engaging some of them in the following report.
I have come to one of the busiest intersections in the capital, Kaneshi First Light. Once the traffic light signals red, young faces appear through the blare of car windows with outstretched arms, warm smiles, and sometimes tear-filled eyes. They try to prick your conscience, hoping you spare a coin or two. These children, often from Niger and Nigeria, once upon a time survived mainly through the benevolence of passengers and drivers. However, their approach has changed. They they have become vendors, selling products like cotton earbuds and brushes, striving to catch the attention of potential buyers. 10-year-old Aisha says she makes enough profit to feed herself and her parents.
My parents moved from Niger because things there were difficult. We came here hoping for a better life. At first, I begged, but now I make more money selling. I can now cater for myself and my parents.
For 10-year-old Fati, selling car brushes provides her the dignity begging deprives her of.
When I was begging, people used to stare at me a lot. Now I sell and I know they see me. It's not much, but I'm earning something and feels better. I make at least 20 cedis profits a day.
This new path is far from easy, but they still push on for the sake of their families.
There are days when the sales are not good, but still, we try our best. We can only pray for better days.
Caught between the innocence of childhood and the harsh demands of survival, these children are left to wonder, is there a future beyond the streets, or will they be forever bound to this life? For Sina Safo, Joy News, Kaneshi First Light.
And that's how we end today's edition of Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM. We're supposed to take you on the campaign trail. We'll bring that and more to you on the Joy News channel at 7. And the Nansako is up next with That's My Opinion. Do stay.